saw. And there was Sophia. She's here today, but she was two at that time when we left in 2015 with just a bunch of luggage. And that's Bunka no Kakehashi in Japanese, cultural bridge builders. We worked with five different groups of people, Portuguese speakers, because there are Brazilians in Japan, Latino Japanese, hablando español, speaking Spanish. And then we had an international group with, he's from Switzerland, his wife is Japanese, and we had visitors from other countries. With Japanese, that might be people that have not traveled very much. And last, Japanese with global mindset. Those are people that have studied English in Australia, the UK, America, so they have a more global mindset. We worked in different languages, French and Portuguese, and this is a Brazilian school in Japan. We also partnered with English teachers. There are many Japanese teachers that want native speakers to come and help them. So Sophia helped me a lot. We did Head and Shoulders, Knees and Toes. We sang lots of songs, played games. And so she's in a lot of the pictures. We also did many events with mothers and kids because moms stay home with their kids a little bit longer than the US. And of course, we dressed up in silly costumes or did anything to try to get people to break out of their comfort zone when learning another language. We had more than 1,000 members, by God's grace, in 2 years, and that's because 700 were English people wanting to learn English, and 300 were in the other groups. We had 7 meetup groups, and one of them was this first one, Grab a Seat, Choose Your Drink. That was our most explicitly Christian one. It said, come and speak about the most controversial and fascinating person in history, Jesus Christ. We also had many language exchanges, as you saw, and a few international hangouts, and then they would have varying degrees of gospel sharing. It would depend on how ready people were or what people were looking for. So they'd come in for English sometimes, and then they'd build a relationship with us, and we would bring up Jesus later. But in concerts, we had a really good chance to share the entire gospel freely, especially around Christmas time. And that we would use because they celebrate Christmas, but they just think it's Santa and presents, and we'd be able to connect all the dots for them and say, this is why we celebrate Christmas, because God came in flesh to be among us. And then more moms and kids groups. So that one is Odawara Christian Center. It's one of the 25 churches that is in the Covenant Japan Church. Summer events like Vacation Bible School. And so our week was mostly with people outside the church, and then on weekends or for vacation Bible study, we would be with people that were inside the church. And we would share with them, maybe similar to my message today, about how to reach people outside the walls of the church, how to be the church in the world. These are two professional soccer players that did a Bible study with Fabio. We weren't expecting that, but that came about. Then we had a Turkish, well, he's Moroccan French, but he has a Turkish kebab shop. We'd usually eat there before we taught one of our English groups. That was Oliver from Kenya, who's married to a Japanese woman, and a man from Sri Lanka, and a man from Taiwan. So I usually say there's 1.5% of foreigners in Japan, but we tried to meet all of them. We did our best to do that. So this is what you've been helping us with these last 2 years. And as we said last night at the Ice Cream Social, International Falls was the first church to partner with us. So we want to say thank you, and I even have it in my PowerPoint, to just say thank you so much for your partnership and for being part of what we did in Japan, for your prayers, your support, and you guys are one of the model churches for mission, if you don't know that by now. And it means so much for us to partner with you. So let's keep going. What does God want to say to all of us today about your first love in Revelation 2:2-5? I have it up there too, but we just already heard it. So thank you for the scripture reading. We'll keep going. So what do I have to share with you? Well, first of all, I want to tell a story. A few months ago, when Fabio and I landed in the States, we were needing some couple time. In Japan, it's not common to have babysitters, and it's just not even in the culture. Everybody only goes to family to take care of their kids. So we were dying for a night out, and some people took care of our kids, actually my mom, and we went and stayed in a hotel just down in St. Petersburg, Florida, by the beach. And when we hustled and bustled to get the kids all ready, we got their bags packed, and we've been married 6 years, you should know, okay? So we dropped the kids off at my mom's house, and then we went in the car, and as soon as we shut the door, I'm gonna cry, it was like we were dating again. It was just this incredible peace, you know, because we were just so in need of time together to look each other in the eyes and to talk. And it was, I don't know, it wasn't even 24 hours. It was like 18 hours of bliss, you know. We went out to eat. We went to bed at 10. We slept in. It was just glorious. We even met a couple from Sweden and told them about an Italian coffee shop down the road. So we got to do a little cultural fusion on our night out. But I thought of that when I read Revelation 2:4, because that was like remembering what it used to be like and how special it was in the beginning. And that's not that we were going backwards, because now we have 6 years of experience. We have 2 children with us. So we're still building on that foundation. But it was like we could go and have a glimpse of how beautiful that was and how why we married each other. You know, remembering, why is it that I signed up for life with this guy? And so we can do that with Jesus. Why is it that I decided to commit to Jesus and say, yes, I will die with you. The baptism shows that we die with Christ and are resurrected. That is a huge commitment. That's not just something simple or small, isn't it? So back to you. This is one of the greatest mission-minded churches. What am I going to be sharing with you? You could probably be giving this sermon. You could be saying what it means to persevere in mission. You could say what it means to support local mission and have that balance of overseas mission, local mission, and the balance between financial support and presence, the ministry of presence, and how to share the gospel in word and deed, proclamation and deed. So what else can I add to that? Well, as I was praying about this message, this is what came up in Revelation 2:4, because it's never too late to be reminded of our first love. And it's always good to go back to the basics of why we're doing what we're doing. And I think you've been doing this Missions Week since 1966. So let's be reminded of the 3 things today that I have for you. And the first is, it's all about Jesus. The whole thing we're doing, we are all here because of Jesus. And everything we do, as Pastor Darren said, worship is everything we do. All of that is for Jesus. And sometimes we get, with time, you know, we get a little numb, or we give and give and give, and we kind of forget, or we just say, oh yeah, they're over there, and we lose touch. Things become rote, things become routine. In fact, Japanese culture struggles with this, because they're very, very good at memorizing things and being rote, but then they're not always free to be creative, and it causes problems when they go out in the global market. So are we ever getting like that? Are we ever getting too rote? And are we remembering that all this stuff is not about the stuff? The church building, the gym, the rooms, the service trips, the late night conversations, the phone calls, the sacrifices. It's all for what? It's all so that people may come to know Jesus Christ and grow in their relationship with God. So it's about the people. It's not about the stuff. A lot of churches have arguments about the color of the carpet or the chairs or, you know, are we going to build on this and how to use the money? But it's all for one goal, and it's about the people. It's about building these bridges, Bunka no Kakehashi. We're all cultural bridge builders, figuratively, and making a way to serve others so that, and this is my favorite part, everyone may come into a life-saving, holistic, vibrant, healing commitment of following Jesus in a radical way. So wherever we are on that spectrum, all the resources of the church and all the mission of God's stuff is to bring us all into a deeper and more healthy, holistic relationship with Jesus, because he saves all of us, spiritually, emotionally, and physically, all of it. And we, in our context, just happen to use languages and music to do it. in Japan, as we said, we started these meetup groups, and that's just something online that anyone can start up, and you can do knitting or Bible studies or book clubs, and we happen to focus on the languages we love to speak, plus two or three international groups and a moms and kids group. But those groups are never the end goal. You know, English is just a tool. It's a tool to build relationships who never have met a Christian in their life. We had that privilege and that responsibility to be the only believers most of the people we worked with that were Japanese had ever met. Amazing. And when we told the story of Christmas, it was the first time for 90% of the people to hear that God came in flesh. They might have been exposed to Hollywood Western Christianity, but they never heard from a person who believes it the truth, the full story. So that was an incredible privilege, and you were part of that. You made it possible. So the first is it's all about Jesus. That's the most key thing. That is our first love. He is the one. And second, God is a missionary God. And this is where it gets super exciting, because we think, I don't know if you hear that word evangelism and you're like, oh, I could never do that. You know, that's Billy Graham. And thank you, God, for Billy Graham's life. But we don't have to be Billy Graham. In fact, I can't be Billy Graham. I don't have that southern drawl. But, you know, none of us can be Billy Graham. He was supposed to be Billy Graham. I'm supposed to be Jonna. And that's all I can do. I can't do Fabio. I can't be Pastor Darren. I can only do me. And I struggle with that sometimes. But God is a missionary God, and he goes before us. So a healthy church is a missional church, not a country club. We must always be looking outward. If we get too inward, we're going to get enmeshed, right? So we have to look outward. And here are some questions. How are my parents doing? How are my siblings doing? How are my kids doing? No, really, how are they doing? Do I ask them the deep questions, or have I given up? Do I make myself available long enough for them to answer, or is it on to the next thing? Am I glued to my iPhone, texting someone in another location, or am I present to those who can smell and touch me and hear me right in front of them? How's my neighbor? And I mean the real neighbor, the one right next to me, the one living in the house either next to me or the next farm over or the next door over, the next apartment door. Do I even know their names? Today, do people even know their neighbor's names? How's the cashier at Kmart? I've had many instances this time in the States where I'll notice that maybe the cashier's kind of in a bad mood, and I had this one thing where I was kind of in a bad mood, and then we irritated each other a little bit, and I had to take a deep breath, and then I just said, you know, I apologize. I said, I'm sorry, I'm kind of snippy this morning, and are you okay? And then all of a sudden, you know, he changed, and he was nice to me, and then I was nicer to him, and it just like breaks that barrier. I don't know, people seem a little sensitive these days, and I'm one of them, and I can either add to that or dispel it. And when I depend on the Holy Spirit and take a moment, take a breather and think about the other person instead of getting all up in my up in my head and self-focused, it helps. So are we checking in on each other? Are we thinking about the widows, the widowers, the divorcees, the single parents around us and checking on them? How are they doing? Are we paying attention? What are the physical, emotional, and spiritual needs? Because God is a missionary God. God goes before us, but we're the hands and feet of Jesus, aren't we? And that's going to lead me to the next point. But how are things going? And God goes before us and loves the people more than we do, and we just join. So the third point is, embrace who God created you to be and partner with the Holy Spirit. We are not the savior of the world. And that's another one of those, take that load off my back. We talked about my father last night. He's not a believer. Is it my responsibility to convince him that Jesus is real? No, that's the Holy Spirit's work. Is it my responsibility to live as best as I can like a disciple of Christ and to show that to him? Yes. Is it my responsibility to talk about Jesus every time I see him? No, but every time the Holy Spirit leads me to. And if the Holy Spirit says, shut your mouth, don't say anything right now, then I need to listen to that too. And that just takes time and discernment. And I noticed in my life that if you listen to the little things, if you feel those nudges, if you listen to those, the voice gets easier to hear. If you don't listen to them, the voice fades a little bit. And I've had both of those happen in my life. We are not the savior of the world. We aren't even the secretary to the Holy Trinity, as my husband likes to say. But we are, as it says in 1 Corinthians 3:9, co-laborers in God's service. So we're not off the hook. And you know that better than I do, because you have years of experience living that out. So God goes before us to Japan, to France, to our families, to our workplace, our co-workers, our classmates. And God pursues them and desires them to know him far more than we could ever want for them. That makes me so happy. And he's patient. In 1 Peter it says, God is patient to wait for those to comfort to him. So that's why it's important to remember that true friendship is what we want to be living out. We don't want to make people a goal or a project. We call it Project Japan, but that's just what we were doing. That's not the people we're talking about, because the people aren't a project. I'm not trying to change anyone. Again, I'm just trying to love with unconditional love. Jesus didn't go out and try to change people. Yes, he said, go and sin no more. But he loved unconditionally. He accepted them as they were first. So what does it look like to love people with no strings attached? Would that change anything in your life to live like that? And of course, I don't want to downplay how amazing it is when a person makes a decision for Christ. We are going to be jumping up in joy for that when they turn over their life to him. That is an amazing goal, yes, but that's not the end goal. The end goal, that might be God's end goal, but my end goal is to love them unconditionally. I don't know if that makes sense. So the Holy Spirit is doing that work, and I'm going to jump up in joy, jump and down for joy when they turn to Jesus. But they're not my project to change. I'm not responsible for their conversion. That's the Holy Spirit. So if we only love the people around us with that goal to change them, you know, they have to become Christians, they have to become Christians. If we're walking around with that mantra, then they're going to smell a fake a mile away. You know why? Because they're going to know that we don't love them as they are. Jesus didn't manipulate people or make them feel guilty. The church over the years has turned it into, you know, believe in Jesus or you'll go to hell. And that hell is a very real place. But Jesus' question to people was, do you want to be well? That's very powerful. Do you want to be well? And then they choose, yes or no. Or he showed them that he loved them first before he said, now go and sin no more. There was a relationship built. And he treated them with dignity and respect, just like the woman at the well in John 4. Do you know where to get living water? And then, I'm living water. I often tell this story that for years, when I bought my family Christmas presents, I would, you know, think about what they loved, and then I would buy them a Christian book about that. So my brother loves politics, so I would buy like a Christian book about politics, you know, and my sister loves the outdoors, so I would buy a Christian book about the outdoors. And one year, I just got really convicted that I was trying to kind of manipulate things too much, or I wasn't really thinking about their interests first. So I started praying. I said, okay, Lord, you show me what to get them for Christmas. And they're not believers, by the way, or they wouldn't call themselves Christ followers. And so I started praying, and all of a sudden I started getting what they really would want, even if it wasn't what I would want. And so, you know, I think I bought a book just about politics, but not from a Christian view, you know, more of what my brother would really be interested in, and a business book about his style of business. And I started giving them those new Christmas gifts with a different view, and they started crying when they would open the gifts. Because I really felt like the Lord had led me to those specific gifts, and they were things that they would love. And that's just one way that I've changed as I've thought about this and thought about how I don't want to convey this message that I need to change them, because that's God's job. I want to convey that God loves them. So many of you know Matthew 28, 16 through 20, and that is the make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I am with you even to the end of the age, Jesus says. But I want to talk about the Greek because it says, we say go and make disciples. But that first go actually isn't in the command form in the Greek. So the first command in that sentence is supposed to be make. And the go is more in like a gerund, like as you are going, as you are living out your life, as you are, you know, pumping gas at the gas station, or as you are at the cashier, as you are selling whatever it is you sell, as you are being a realtor, being a lawyer, being a counselor or a teacher, as you are doing that, make disciples. And that was another key change for me, because I'm supposed to be Jonna living out my life and then making disciples as I go. So if you're a doctor, make the clinic your mission field. If you work for the city cleaning the streets or picking up garbage, pray for the homes as you go by them. Pray for the people you see on the street. Ask for divine conversations with the people around you. So to summarize, we can also say the first love is the Lord your God. And we know that the two most important commandments in the whole Bible and the summary of the entire scripture is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. That's your first love, Jesus. Everything we have, everything we are, is to be surrendered back to the one to whom it all belongs. No holds barred. Think we can pull one over on God? Think he doesn't know about our eating disorder, our depression, our relationship at work that's crossed an emotional boundary, our addiction to Victoria's Secret magazines, our inability to walk into a store without buying something? How many of you know this parent trick? I learned it as a youth pastor. When you think your child is doing something wrong, and it's often in the teenage years, you can say to them, "Is there something you want to tell me?" Has anyone used that one before? And if they are having a moment of conviction or a moment of conscience, they might spill the beans because they think you already know. Well, God already knows. He's better than the smartest parents, isn't he? God already knows everything we're carrying, all the burdens. He's not like our earthly father. He's perfect. So even the best earthly fathers represented in this room can't compare to God's perfect love. And even Billy Graham, as we've been studying his life, we know he wasn't a perfect father. He did a lot of great things, but he's still a human. But God is, and God always responds in love, even when we're getting convicted of sin and being disciplined or feeling that pruning required for growth. So love the Lord your God, your first love, and the second command is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Remember, it's all about Jesus. God is a missionary God going before us. And rely on the Holy Spirit, embracing your identity, your strengths and your weaknesses, because God's going to use it all. Your story. Have you told anyone your story lately? That is part of witnessing to God's goodness. And it's scary to share your story, isn't it? I have parts I don't like to tell people, but I realize that there are times when I need to just share more. Because by being vulnerable with the other person, I'm opening a door for them to see God's grace in my life. So as we do these three things, we'll be remembering our first love. And that's the message I felt like I needed to bring to this church today. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for partnering. We're happy to talk more about France. And we're working out these three things in our lives as well. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.